today and not in loyalty and not in commitment and not in spirit because you question our decisions or you can't see eye to eye. And I'll say this to you wives as well. Avoid the temptation to think if I get all in, they'll think I agree with them. If I get all in, he'll think I love him. You got to be here anyway. You got to be in your marriage anyway. Get all in for God's sake. Hold up the man of God's hands as we fight the battle and we get to judgment seat of Christ. God will work all that out. And I don't know anyone that's stuck with him, that at the end said, man, I wish I didn't do that. What a waste that was. Stand by. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. I forgot my glasses, so I got to go up in the choir loft to read my Bible. No. My wife had a hard time with those reading glasses. She'd tell the kids to take her phone and stand over there before she'd put them on, but she finally had to humble down. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Genesis chapter 20. And Adam, I've never been so pleased that there's no visitors here today. If you are in the world or of the world, you're not going to like this. But you can go home and see CNN and Fox and NBC and MSN and get all you want. You can go to the university. You can go to the public school. You can get most of Chuck E. Cheese churches. Get all of that you want. But today we're going to preach the Bible, and I'm excited about it. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word, Lord. Help us to preach it unapologetically, confidently today, and help the people to receive it. Receive it and take it with them unapologetically and confidently today. Thank you for the mothers in this room. Lord, it's not a competition, but I'd put them up against any other 100 females on this planet. All around. Physical, emotional, spiritual, all around. And I pray you'd bless this word now in Jesus' name. I want to be an encouragement. Amen. Personally, I believe motherhood is a high honor. I can't think of another vocation on the planet that has so much potential for good and so much potential for destruction. The hand, they say, that rocks the cradle rules the world. The outcome of generations to come hangs in the balances of the mothers in the current generation. Eve is a great example of that. You know, Satan went after Eve. Paul told us in Timothy that the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And Eve, how Eve behaved impacted husband, impacted children, impacted generations, impacted you and I this morning. But perhaps one of the most personal plights that Eve suffered was the impact that her conduct had on womanhood forever in a sinful world. In many ways, and hear me out this morning, and in many ways and in many places and for much of time, beginning in the Bible, because of the sin of mankind, women have been hurt, women have been taken advantage of, women have been used, women have been abused. See, the makeup of a woman has made her a target of sinful mankind throughout the years. Her emotions, which are a great thing, makes her susceptible to vulnerability. Her nurturing has made her susceptible to becoming a victim. We're ringing, boys. We're still ringing. Help me out here. I know Satan don't want this message. I know he wants to be all messed up. I'll take another mic if I have to. Just don't be afraid to interrupt me if this isn't going to come out. The most important message I ever preached on a King James Bible was gone. Amen. Throughout the Bible, and in many cases, and I know I'm going to sound left. Let me sound left today. Throughout the Bible and in history, women have in many cases become second-class citizens. Object of people's lusts and wickedness, and in much of history, and in many cases, just a slight rank above slave. Seems like somebody else has always charted women's course. And it was always man, sinful man, until about 1900. And then a word showed up that had never been in the dictionary. You won't find this word in the 1828 dictionary. You won't find it in dictionaries. And if you study secular sources, which I do often when preaching a message of word origins, I can't even etymology, whatever it's called. You won't find the word feminist in the old dictionary. Now, let me say this first. You understand, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even the women that we spoke about this morning are sinners. So these women rose up and they said, you know what? We're not going to stand for sinful man charting our course. So in place of sinful man, sinful woman stood up and said, we will chart the woman's course. With the intention of liberating women. The new woman would roar. The new woman would take a stand, take a job, take an M16, take a Glock, get a suit, take a CEO of a company, take a White House. The new woman would wear the pants in the family. The new woman would take what has traditionally been man's. So by the time it's all said and done and the pendulum is swung, can you believe I'm preaching this in 2017? Instead of sinful man charting the woman's course, now sinful women would chart their course. And in a lot of ways, hear me out, shackling the very women that they sought to liberate by their expectations, by the sinful, sinning women's expectations of what we define a woman should be. See, expectations shackle. Pressure shackles. The Bible says this, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Bible says this, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The Bible says, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. So today I want to bring a message and make sure it's nice and bold on whatever you put it on. The new women's liberation. The new women's liberation. Maybe, just maybe this morning, within the sound of my voice, are some women that find the modern liberation movement charted by women not very liberating at all. Maybe you're tired of sinners charting your course, be it men or be it women. Maybe you just choose to be a helper and a mother and a keeper. And you don't appreciate society telling you what you ought to be. What are you going to do when you get out of school? Oh, you better have an answer, or you're going to be shackled by the scorn and disdain of this world. You're going to be something ancient. Listen, you want to mess them up. You graduates, I don't even know who's graduating this year. When you graduate and they say, what are you going to do? Look at them and say, well, in the interim, I'm not sure what I got planned, but in the long term, I just want to be a stay-at-home mom and had about 10 kids and raise them for God. I'm telling you, by the time it's over, I'm getting to think this thing. Just have a lot of kids and raise them for God. And if the ones that go to hell, let them go to hell. Can the old women say amen on that one? Thank you, sister. The new women's liberation, maybe I should call it the old, but I was too deep into the message to change it, puts aside what sinful man thinks and puts aside what sinful women think. and picks up the liberation manual. So we're going to lay some groundwork, and I don't even have it as point one, but God help me not to miss the point. Liberation starts in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ set me free, and Jesus Christ will set you free. And he'll let you take his yoke upon you, and that'll be, I'll guarantee, lighter. I don't care what you're doing and what cross you're bearing, it'll be lighter than the world's yoke all day long. Number one, while our God loves this world, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. None of us would give our son for this wicked, sin-sick sewer of a world. While our God loves this world, he opposes anything and anyone in it that is contrary to him, his ways, and his word. And one reason is because they always mess it up. They mess themselves up. The book of Liberation calls this world, in case you're making this your home and digging your stakes in deep and looking out there saying, I just want to go to this world. Here's what it says. It says it's a present evil world. It refers to the darkness of this world. The Bible says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. The Bible speaks of the course of this world, and I'll tell you, it's on a crash course for hell, run by the god of this world, and that's Satan. So while our God loves this world, he opposes anything, anyone that is contrary to him, his ways, or his word, and mainly because man always messes it up. Number two, if we as believers will be anything like our master, we must mirror God's view of this world. We must love those in the world while opposing everything, anyone that is contrary to him, his ways, and his word. It's simple. It's called being a Christian. And if for nothing else, for our own sake, because we'll mess it up. Oh, listen to this verse. The world is crucified to me. I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs of crucifixion, but did you hear what he just said? You that are in the world or of the world or us that always maybe just take a glance at the world, us that maybe regret, us just a quick taste of that ice cream. The world is crucified to me. I put that world on a cross and I nailed it. And listen, I don't know what the Chuck E. Cheese church does with this truth, and I am crucified to the world. How could you try to win the world by the world when you are crucified to the world? You are to be dead. This world, they're dead. They're nothing. They're useless. I am crucified to the world. I'm trying to show you the contrast between the world and God this morning. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. I love our international students this morning. Amen. And I can tell that they're international students. I can't tell by looking at them. I can tell by listening to them. Are you a stranger in this world? Am I a pilgrim in this world? Am I out of place? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I was at a secular wedding last night, and I said, man, everybody's going to be drinking, but I'm already drunk when I get there. I'm getting ready to preach tomorrow morning. Amen. All that is in the world, you've heard this 1,000 times, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of the flesh, is not of the Father, but is of the world. See the contrast? The friendship with the world is enmity with God. Let me tell you something. If the world, We've got to be careful, brethren. If I be lifted up, I draw them unto me. And if they just see the love, I got to be careful. I'm just asking the Lord, can I? Listen, let me just put it generally. If I go out in this world and say, I want to give you $20 bills, and they say, okay, I can't get up and say, can you believe it, Dylan? They're letting me give them $20 bills. When did we become excited that the world is letting us give them stuff? That's the modern ministry. We'll have a little sports ministry. We'll have a little shooting ministry. We'll make you a dake, and we'll do everything for free. Don't tell me. And they'll talk to us. They didn't talk to Paul, brother. And I'm not saying don't meet them where they're at. We're getting ready to do some. I hope we're getting ready. We got some sinners out here that need some help. Some of you that were dope heads, we got some dope heads out here that need some help. And we're going to get in their little coaching program, and we're going to learn what they're going to tell us. And I stood up and I asked that sheriff, did I tell you this story? I think I might have put it on an email. They opened up the floor, 50 clergy members, our sheriff asking us for help. We got people and we don't know what to do with them. Because these addictions are incredible. The guy that inspects the dead people. Coroner. We're finding them dead in our county with the needle still in their arm. They're cutting these drugs and they're putting whatever in it. Shh. Boom. Someone told me, and they were talking about this one drug we have that's a blocker. You know what they're thinking? Well, if I overdose, they'll just give me the blocker and I'll be okay. And they're ending up in hell. And this guy got up, well, you just can't, they don't want to hear about, he's trying to help us out, you know. They don't want to hear about, they don't want to hear titles, they don't want to hear sheriff, they don't want to hear pastor, they don't want to hear, he went on for 10 minutes. He got all done, I finally raised my hand, he said, yes, I said, my name's Joe Kamler, my title is I'm Just a Sinner Saved by Grace. And that room kind of lit up a little bit, and I said, I'm going to ask you one question. You're calling the faith community together, and a lot of us overcame this stuff by faith. Can we share our faith? And that sheriff looked me in the eye and said, absolutely. We better answer this call. We better answer this call. Some of these kids, probably some of the kids you taught in Choice already, now they're all strung out. Ye are a chosen generation. Royal priesthood, whole peculiar. Stop trying to be cool and just be Christian. I tell those kids, I say, you're never too cool. You're never too cool for Jesus. Never mind all that cool and I got to blend in and I got to fit. We ought to be leading the charge. Our marriages ought to be the mainstay. They ought to be saying, we want our kids like theirs, not our kids like yours. Finally, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Can you see the two opposing forces? I'm just trying to show you this because we're so immersed in it in this 2017. We can't tell the world from God anymore. The church from the bar room. But the women's liberators were so wise. No, that's worldly wisdom. And the world by wisdom knew not God. You know what I find? So the female sinners come along and they say, we're going to help females. We are going to celebrate diversity. People are different. To that I say, amen. But here's what I find. The people that seem to shout diversity the loudest want to make everybody the same. I was going to title this Celebrating Diversity. That would really get the brethren's attention. Those that are marching for diversity want to nullify diversity. Biggest diversity in the Bible is man and God. And you ain't nothing but an animal. No, I'm not God and God's not me and I'm not an animal and an animal's not me. I may have acted like one before Jesus, Woman is a man, not my woman. If you haven't noticed, I know you don't like this word, God is a God of diversity. I have housed some of the brightest international students on the planet, and not one has been able to explain to me this question. In fact, I was sitting with Yuki at the international dinner. I mean, they were from all over the world. And we got talking, and I said, and I can tell, man, I surprised a woman at a flea market in Florida. I said, let me guess where you're from. She said, you know where I'm from? We started talking. Come to find out she was a Christian. And I think God gave it to me, Jamie, but I said, I know she's not Chinese. I know she's not Chinese. She says, Mongolia. I said, God told me. Yuki said, can you tell the difference between Japanese and Chinese and Korean? I said, Japanese and Chinese, but probably not Korean. I said, can you? Oh, yeah. I said, who was the first Japanese man? What? Who was the first Japanese man? I don't understand this question. I said, Japanese look different than Chinese, right? Yeah. They're about 2,000 miles apart, right? Yeah. I said, so maybe some of the apes that evolved. See, Japanese, are you stereotyping? Yeah, I'm telling you the way God made people. Chinese eyes are a little bit more slanted. Japanese are a little bit more rounded. I said, maybe the apes that lived on this island over here, their eyes were less. He goes, this is crazy. I said to Miriam, why is language different? I said, did the apes in the jungle say, boo-goo-doo-goo-boo? And the apes in China, hoi, hoi, hoi. And the apes in Italy, what's up, whatever. And I tell everyone, I give them the same answer. I'll tell you why. Because God likes the flowers different, the trees different, the birds different, the bees different, and people different. Oh. Deuteronomy chapter 22, our God loves diversity. Are we having a good time? Happy Mother's Day. I don't know if I need to go here. Okay, Deuteronomy, we don't have to go. Listen, in the Bible, diverse and diversity, it's all over. There's diverse seeds, diverse garments, diverse weights, diverse measures, diverse colors, diverse princes, diverse sorts of flies. I like that one. You know, after that sermon Wednesday night, where he's going in a couple weeks, Mosquito Lake. And the other song leader's going with him, if you can picture that. I think he sneaks out and gets a hotel at night. We're going to suffer together in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, diverse kinds of tongues, diverse gifts, diverse washings, diverse ordinances. When we look at nature, brethren, there is diversity everywhere. From under the microscope to what runs along the mountain ridges. Yet it seems our God is a God of diversity, but those that parade diversity the loudest want to mesh everything and make it all the same. They want to blur the lines that God has drawn. Like number one, they want to mesh. Sinners want to mesh moral diversity. Hear me out. What God calls right and wrong, let me tell you, God's diverse. There's right and there's wrong. The world who celebrates diversity, who marches for diversity, says, no, there's no right and wrong. That's why you cringe every time I say the word diversity. We got to take our words back. Like rainbow and gay and diversity. We had them first. Listen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. While this world manifests diversity everywhere in creation, he is anything but diverse when it comes to morality. He is uniform when it comes to morality. And this is where we fit in as the people of God, being an epistle known and read, being the light and the salt of this dark, bitter, sinful, evil world. You have an opportunity this morning. The world is at enmity with God. You want to know what the world believes? Don't even read the Bible. You want to know what the Bible says without reading it? I'll tell you how. Go out there and see what they say about stuff. If they say in the beginning, boom, you can bet in the beginning God. If the lost religious crowd says all roads lead to God, you can bet there's only one way. If this world says that thing growing in the womb is not a person, you can bet that God planted that thing and it's fearfully and wonderfully made. And those same people that are marching in protest so they can kill the baby will march in protest for the life of the murderer. So you can bet this book says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, not one, two or three witnesses, let every word be established, and by that the murderer shall be put to death. So they're marching for the squirrels to live and they're killing our unborn. That's the world for you this morning. Oh, they're doing great, ain't they? Think about it. Women's rights, women's liberation, 1973, they started killing the unborn. Is it still a million a year? I don't know. Anybody have the stat? Huge. They killed half of their own kind. Sure didn't liberate them, did they? God help us. God help us to stand and reflect what God wants. And I'm getting to that. Marching for the squirrel. I held a sign up there. In fact, we got to be careful. We go out to hold signs. These little kids grab a sign and say, "We love squirrels. They taste great," you know. Likewise, if God authors a difference, distinct lines of diversity between male and female, you can bet that this world will want to blur it. Distort it or pervert it. You don't need a preacher telling you that. Just look out there. Number one. On the second part, God wants you ladies. God wants to liberate you that want to be free to help a man and keep a house and bear children. It's because you're in the world too much instead of in here. Listen, if that's what you want to do, don't let sinners pressure you otherwise. Let God free you otherwise. He told that man in the garden, "Listen, I want you to subdue the earth. He made a woman, and I want you to help him do it. Fine, help him with his keys. He's all messed up without you. I want you to keep his house and bear him children." I started thinking about this word. I was going to call this another word, the modern feminist. See, feminist didn't come until 1900, Bill, 1895 in there. You know what the root word for feminism and feminist and female and feminine is? It means to suckle. That means feeding a baby from your body, in case you don't know. I think them feminists should have maybe come up with another word. These are the feminists. The God of liberty has set you free, sisters, to be what you want to be, especially if that's what God wants you to be. And if you've chosen to be a helper and a keeper and a childbearer, don't let this perverted world that wants to blur everything persuade you otherwise. Hold your head high, name it, and claim it. Children are a... You know what children have become? It's no wonder they're aborting half of them. They become a necessary evil to marriage. Oh, I talked to a woman last night. I can't go into it. It was just... Whose children have everything. You know what that woman wants?
I just want some grandchildren. They got houses. They've got cars. They've got degrees. They've got this. They've got that.
That's what sinners think. Children are a necessary evil. But God said children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, you're not going to hear this at the Chuck E. Cheese church, because you know why? Their roles would be empty. And I'd rather have the pews empty than the presence empty. The new women's liberation. See, here's what happened. The men ran it, they messed it all up. The women ran it, they messed it all up. So we're trying to liberate our... Say, preacher, why are you preaching? I'm trying to liberate you women, especially you young women. It's like a vacuum cleaner sucking you in. The new women's liberation liberates our women to be free to help a man bear his children, keep a home, and feel good enough, unapologetic about doing it. Preaching my situation. Listen, if that's your goal, then let people say what they may. I'm not going to get into all the what's and what can we and what can we, what should we, what don't. You know what I'm saying this morning. And there's an army of women raising up that aren't afraid to say, I am woman. Hear me whisper. Sweet nothings in his ear. An army of women that says, yeah, I got a bunch of kids. You want to compare respect? You want to compare character? You want to compare work ethic? Education without salvation is damnation. You need some transformation. The new women's liberation movement, the one I'm starting, liberates our woman from the pressure to be masculine. If you don't like stereotypes, don't read the Bible. Because God said, be strong, quit yourselves like men. What's that supposed to mean? It means quit yourself like men. It means masculine. It means diversity. Isn't that what we are celebrating? Sounds kind of chauvinistic. No, it sounds masculine. I read an unbelievable article the other day that the millennial... This is secular stuff. The millennial women are marrying up. They're marrying older guys. You know why? Because it says they don't have their hoodie on with a draft beer in one hand, their cell phone in the other hand. Listen, girls don't play video games. Guys play them. Guys are addicted to them. Stuck in their face in either a video game or a porn site. The older men treat them like women. They don't need to jump into bed the first night. Take a hint, young men. Be a man. And I don't just mean macho man. A macho man with velvet gloves. Real women want a real man. Deuteronomy 22:5, while we're on the subject. Kelly, this verse holds a special place with you in my heart. Because, you remember? Yeah, I was stuck in Buffalo years ago, and a guy had a skirt on. Let me say what I'm going to talk about here is universal. I'm this far into it. Why stop now? David wore a skirt. Now, some of you offended, you think a men's calves are immodest. It's just not in the Bible. You didn't see David with a pair of Levi Strauss on or Dickies or Carhartts on, did you? No. Have you ever seen a... You realize Eastman Kodak took a picture of David when he slew Goliath. What did he have on? What you did see was it Abner that cut off Saul's... This is universal. This goes for Middle East. This goes everywhere. Deuteronomy 22. I'm talking about dividing lines here. Deuteronomy 22 and 5. Anyways, this guy was there with a skirt. I said, where's that verse in the... Because he came up. He says, why these girls all got skirts on? I said, why you got one on? And Kelly came to my rescue, and I never forgot the address since that day, probably 10 years ago. When I showed him that verse, you know what he said to me? He said, so you must be opposed to a woman wearing pants then. Now, you want me to say something now, but I'm not going to. Let's read Deuteronomy 22:5. Deuteronomy 22, we ain't afraid. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Universal. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Listen, the Bible's women's liberation relieves you and liberates you from the pressure to be masculine. Listen, 100 years ago, this is not even a subject. We're not even talking about it. In much of the world, whose religion is very different than yours and mine, it's not even a subject. And as long as you're going to let sinful women chart your course, you're going to come up short. Pun intended. If sinful men determine what you wear, it won't be much. If sinful women determine what you wear, it'll be like a man. Isn't that something? The sinners know this. I got to preach this to the church. When Bruce Jenner got up and announced did he have jeans and a flannel on? Or she? Or whatever? She? Has she? I'm a woman. And everyone, I'm careful here. I know we're in mixed company. I'm having fun, are you? That wasn't too loud. And everyone that wants to, the girl that wants to be a boy, she wouldn't be caught dead the way Brucey was dressed that night. In something that women used to always wear. We hear about a fashion statement. I'm trying to free you from being masculine. Clothes speak. Clothes speak, come on. The military knows it. The modern church knows it. They're trying to dress like sinners. I'm not questioning their motives. I'm questioning their methods. Aren't they trying to dress like sinners? You guys are too formal. Sinners aren't formal. Dress like sinners. Then they'll come. I want God to come. I was at a wedding last night with I got to say this in case I forget. I turned to my wife. You're talking about... You've been to a wedding lately? They're basically just wearing colored saran wrap. It's like a stocking. more skin, more flesh, more parts, more Hollywood beauty. I turned to my wife. I said, honey, God's my witness. I said, either these are young girls, young women. I said, either they're not as pretty as they used to be, make them when we was young, or I've been around Christian women so long that something is missing in these women. The most beautiful of them are like a piece of plastic. That's the feminist. Either, and I just want to say this, and there wasn't a pair of jeans in a place at a secular wedding. The prostitute pays her rent with this principle. What she wears says, for sale! Does your fashion statement line up with what you are? And if it does, don't be afraid of it. I see our girls. You get out in the mall and you wear the shortest, tightest thing because we want to blend in and maybe they just won't know. Hey, what are you afraid of? Man, you ever think that might give you an opportunity to witness? You ever stop? Listen to this opportunity, ladies. That you are the only being, and men too, in the evolutionary chain that can choose to manifest what you are with your clothing. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Well, I don't like that Old Testament.
Okay. The roast is burning, honey. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Yeah, I got up this morning at 5 o'clock to put $100 worth of beef ribs on, and they were still in the freezer.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't flip out. Glory. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. 14. I'm not going to get into hairdos here. I'm just general of what this thing we're talking about. Doth not nature itself teach you? Or does it teach you? Sinful man ain't going to teach you, and sinful woman ain't going to teach you. Only nature's going to teach you and a preacher that loves you more than they're afraid of you. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? I had a guy read that one time with hair to ponytail. He said, you're judging me. I said, I didn't say nothing. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. You realize the poor transgender buck deer? That fall comes around. Here come them horns again. I'm really a doe. I know I was born a doe. That poor mallard duck. You ever see a mallard duck with the green heads? They shine. Oh, they're out in that lake flying all. She got no choice. The cardinal has no choice. The pheasant has no choice. The peacock has no choice. And the he-goat has no choice. But you have a choice to say, in my fashion statement, this is what I am, and it's not a man. You're a woman. I'm a woman. And I'm proud of it. In Jesus' name. And I'm not ashamed of it. And if I'm the only one left standing, I'd rather please God than please this world that messes everything up. Young ladies, God wants to liberate you from the pressure that sinful man wants you to look like. And God wants to liberate you from the pressure of what masculine women want you to look like. Let me liberate you by telling you what the deal is. Modesty coupled with femininity. Strength coupled with delicateness. We're running out of time, but winter, Carhartt, coveralls, three times bigger than your size, are modest, but they're not feminine. A football uniform or a hockey uniform may be modest, but it's not feminine. Well, how can I... Listen, my activity doesn't determine what I manifest. Who I am determines my activity. How are you going to jump out of a plane? My girls ain't. How are you going to get up on a ladder and paint the house? Like with a skirt with some breeches under it, probably. And without your son standing under there. That's another story. To the contrary, your little sister's skirt may be somewhat feminine, but it's immodest. Body odor is neither modest nor feminine. And this is a liberating balance. Modesty with femininity, strength with delicateness. Go to Deuteronomy. I'm going a little bit today. Ken, I know it's Mother's Day. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28:56. Watch this. Watch what happens when sin enters. 56, Deuteronomy. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter. I read, someone sent me an article, all these modern guys, I just want a nice woman. I just want a nice girl. That's all I'm asking. And toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly, blah, blah, blah. Listen, the Proverbs 31 woman is a strong worker. The Song of Solomon woman is a feminine lover. That's your balance. She smells good. She looks good. And that's as far as I'll go. Ladies, you can be liberated to be what God wants you to be. Strong and delicate, modest and feminine. Can we look at God's wife in the Bible for a minute? Jeremiah chapter 3. I want to make sure that you know God has a wife. We're getting there. I'm finishing. Jeremiah. Oh. Jeremiah 3:14. God speaking, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." Okay, so the nation of Israel is God's wife. We won't get into theology of it, but the church is Jesus' wife. Now I want you to go to Ezekiel 16. Let's see. God was a little fussy the way he wanted his wife to dress. Ezekiel 16, you realize this is in type, but God's not going to use a type that's going to distort his character. Ezekiel 16. "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite." Oh, he's being sarcastic. "Thy mother was a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. You may realize he's talking about a nation, but he's drawing a picture. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any one of this unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. See that picture? Not of blood, nor the will. That's your own blood. That's you. That's the flesh. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thine own blood, live. There's a good picture of salvation. That's the start of it. That's the start of liberation. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. He saved. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed in grade, and thou art come to an excellent... What's that word say? Thy breasts are fashioned. She's growing up. This nation is growing up. And thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. See the contrast? And when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, the time was the time of love. And the first thing God did was spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I truly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Oh, I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk, and I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon my hands, and a chain upon thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. And he said in verse 13, and you were beautiful. Modesty with femininity is the deal with the modern liberation movement. You want to look what Christ's bride looked like? Read Song of Solomon in Revelation chapter 21. He talked about your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Don't let this world tell you you got to roar. You can whisper. Delicate is okay. Feminine is okay. Liberation is found in Jesus Christ. I'm on my last page. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair. When you take the whole counsel of God, the emphasis is not the flesh. It's the Jesus inside the flesh. Not the wearing of the gold or the putting on of apparel, but the hidden man of the heart. Your dress ought to be a frame for the countenance of the God that lives within you. Listen to this. But the hidden man of the heart, that's what you ought to be showing. And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. You know, don't forget, if you put your little ornament, it's just an ornament. I hate to use the thing of a Christmas tree, the brethren will shut me off, but you don't. If all you see is the ornaments, you're going to miss the tree. But there's another ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You don't have to roar like a lion. You can just speak like a woman. Don't let nobody tell you different. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or gauze, but that which becometh, goes along with, fits with women professing godliness. And godliness is like God and the way God likes it. And he likes femininity with modesty and not masculinity with immodesty. The female is different. Strength while delicate, modest while feminine. Titus 2. We're going to go. Listen, we've been talking about the guys a lot. We got the advantage, folks. In our worst cases, our marriages are better. Our children are better. They're smarter. They're more socially adapted. Let's quit bowing down to what they say we got to be. Let's quit apologizing. You got how many kids? I got 9. I wish I could have had... Well... General question. And we could even ask the secular world if they weren't here today. Is unwanted pregnancy good or bad, generally speaking, for mother and children? Did one person say bad? I'm going to ask it again. Is an unwanted pregnancy generally good or bad for an unmarried woman? Is multiple partners good or bad? I mean, come on, you're in a family with a mother with multiple partners? That's bad. Is divorce good or bad? For the children, we're talking about women's, we want to help women here. What about stress? What about depression? What about, let me ask you this. Would 99 out of 100 women say, if they could, they'd be with their children, or do they, maybe some do, like being separated from their children? No, they don't want to be with their children. So in general, has the women's liberation movement liberated or bound? Are they better? Are they better? 76% in the African-American community, 49% in the Caucasian. Children born out of wedlock, that's what the liberation movement got you. Stress to drop your little baby off at 5 o'clock in the morning and be torn between two lovers. That's what the liberation movement got you. And there is an army of women. It may be a small army, but it's a, I'd rather have Gideon 300 than 2,000 out there. That is saying, I'm not ashamed to name the name of Jesus and be what He's made me to be. And I'll be better off in this life, woo! And I'll be better off in the next. Hebrews 2, and I promise we're done. Hebrews 2, because that's the book we're in. And I'll make the doctrinal application next week, but for now, I'm going to make this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Not only for God's sake, not only for your sake, but if the church of Jesus Christ lets the differences and the distinctives and the diversity between men and women slip, this world will have no moral compass left to even know what they are. Spurgeon said, our minds and memories are like a leaky vessel. They do not, without much care, retain what is poured into them. This proceeds from the corruption of our nature, temptations, worldly cares, and pleasures. To the old women I appeal this morning. There's a difference between men and women. Strength with delicateness, modesty with femininity. For God's sake, don't let it slip. To the young women, I'd say there's a difference between men and women. Strength with delicateness, modesty with femininity. For God's sake, for your sake, for your children's sake, and for this world's sake that's losing all compass, don't let it slip. And to all, may our lives reflect our epistles that are read. Diversity in creation and uniformity in our morality. Let's stand. Liberty starts with Jesus Christ.